Today we're going to be hearing again from John's Gospel, and as Kelly shared with you earlier, it's going to be John's Gospel chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, so I invite you to follow along with your own personal Bible, the Bible apps, or you can read the words on the screens behind me as they're read aloud. And in honor of the reading of the Gospel passage, I invite you to stand as you're able, in body and spirit. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son, our God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You
may be seated. Now, one of the earliest fears that many of us probably had to get over in our lifetime is probably the fear of darkness, right? As a child, I was afraid of the dark. Many of you as children, I would bet, at one point or another, were afraid of the dark. And it was one of those moments every day you knew when you went to bed at night, you had to turn the lights off to go to sleep. Because you got afraid, right? How many of you were afraid that something was in the closet or under the bed, right? How many of you have gotten up and ran to your parents' bedroom at nighttime just to feel safe? You know, many parents will put a nightlight in a room for a child. I had one room. Many parents will leave on a light for their child when they go to sleep, because darkness for many of us was one of our earliest and first fears. But now, for those who are older, may not be so afraid of the dark, right? You've seen your spaces when the light's on, so you know what is in there. You know there's nothing in the closet but a bunch of clothes. There's nothing under the bed. That's going to be scary. So you've gotten used to the darkness, and now probably prefer to have a dark room because you've seen the light, but you prefer a dark room to go to sleep. But darkness has been a fear for many of us. And I can tell you, there are two places that are the darkest. One is the abyss of the universe. Two is DeSoto Caverns over there in Alabama. Okay? I don't know about y'all, but this church, we used to do a trip for our sixth graders called the Cave Trip. And we would take them in May over for the weekend to DeSoto Caverns, Alabama, and you would actually sleep in a cave. And it was pretty awesome. The cave was quiet. You just hear the dripping of the water every now and then. It was this nice, cool 64 degrees, no humidity. But in the cave, they have a lot of lights. And then as part of the process of the cave trip, the people that run the place, they'll do a little cool presentation and talk about the history of the cave and this and that. Then all of a sudden, they'll turn the lights off on you, and they'll tell you, besides the abyss of the universe, this is the darkest place that a human can actually go. They say, hold your hand out in front of you. Can you see your hand? You can't see nothing. It is dark. Well, I'll tell you, the third darkest place in the universe is this church at night. Okay, come on, y'all. I don't know about you. Y'all know if y'all ever been in this church at nighttime. It's dark. Dark. And one of my first jobs at the church was working with our youth ministry. I was a youth minister for my first 3 years here. And on Sundays, we'd have our youth programming. The youth would come up to the church, and we'd be the only group that would be here. We'd eat a food, be a meal with the parents' prayer, play games in the gym, do Bible study. But one of the responsibilities of the youth minister at that time was that you're responsible for locking up the church because you're the last one out. And by the way, there's 13 doors, exterior doors, that have to be locked. Okay? And you have to find all these thousands of light switches because you want to be a good steward. You don't want to leave the light on at the church and the high electric bill, so you want to make sure all the lights are off. So there's going to come a point in time when you're walking in this church in the dark. And this part of the building is dark. And you're walking by rooms that you don't know who's in there, so you're walking a little faster. Well, I remember one time at staff meeting, I share the stories, it's always interesting, but at staff meeting, they were saying, okay, this is what's going on at the church for the week. Owen and Brian, on Sunday night, when you're locking up and you're done with you, we've got a funeral early Monday morning. So the funeral home is going to come by and go ahead and bring the body, and we're going to keep it in the choir room. And so it's going to be there Sunday night when the kids are here, so don't let them in the choir room. All right? And they're like, this is a joke. And they said, no, actually, we had an associate pastor that would sit up with the body overnight. And I said, not this associate pastor. He's going to sit with the body overnight. Okay? And so out of the whole time that night when I was locking up, in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's a body in the choir room. There's a body in the choir room. This is actually happening, okay? But the dark just kind of makes things a little scary, right? A lot of times, military campaigns, when they begin attacking other places, will do it at night because you can't see all of their actions, right? People who do things that they don't want folks to know that's going on, they'll do them at night. Okay? Because of the darkness can cover a lot of evil in the world, too. It can cause a lot of fear and uncertainty because you don't know what is there. In this Bible passage that we just heard is actually part of a larger scene in John's Gospel. So I want to set the stage for you because I think it's going to bring this a little bit more to the light, shall we say. Right here, Jesus is having a conversation with another person. And these quotes are from Jesus. Okay, so who is he talking to? What has just happened? Remember last week, Jesus got a little angry in the temple. He caused a little scene. He flipped over some tables, drove out some animals with a whip, and all the money changers left. He got some attention, okay? He got the attention of the Jewish leaders, particularly one Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is probably one of, besides Jesus, probably one of my favorite Pharisees. Okay? You see in John's Gospel this progression of Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus, he saw Jesus in that little scene he calls. So he wanted to go pay him a visit. He said, something's up with this guy. I want to go talk to this Jesus. I feel like he is a man of God. I feel like God has sent him. I want to go talk to him. But Nicodemus didn't want to be seen going to pay a visit to Jesus. So what would he do? Well, of course, when it got dark outside, he went. He went and paid Jesus a visit. So here, in this scene, we have Jesus talking to a Pharisee, Nicodemus, in the dark. Nicodemus didn't want people to know, the other Pharisees, that he was talking to Jesus. And so understanding this and seeing this scene play out, now we have a fuller picture. But yet when Nicodemus was listening and talking to Jesus, he still just wasn't quite picking up on what Jesus was trying to tell him. So listen again. He said to Nicodemus, and so just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him have eternal life. You see, there's a scene in the Old Testament where Moses was before the people and he lifted up a serpent to get their attention and to heal them, to save them. Which sounds odd that he would turn a serpent into something that was a saving thing. But yet, he said, just like that. He said, just like that moment, Nicodemus, you know, you're a man of the law. And so that whoever believes in Jesus, believes in the Son of Man, will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. He's speaking this to Nicodemus, trying to teach him, enlighten him. But this is the part that I think many of us forget. Because we all remember John 3:16. We've heard it before, right? We've seen it on posters. We've seen people hold it up. We've seen it on bumper stickers, right? It's one, as Elizabeth said, it's the most Googled Bible verse out there. And it is an important message. And it is a message that I think that many Christians need to view Scripture through. When you read Scripture, it is the lens that you put on it. Oh, yeah, God loved the world. He gave his only Son. That just whoever believes in him may not perish but eternal life. But so many of us have never heard what comes next. Man, this really speaks. It says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just like reckless love, Jesus is coming into the world to save us. We were that one that was lost. And in all of our journeys, each and every one of you have an individual faith journey that Jesus tracked you down to save you, to find you, to come to you. Not to say, you're horrible and I'm through with you, but to say, hey, come follow me. I love you. I gave up a lot to be here to get you. Come follow me. I'm at your door. I am knocking to be let in. But guess what, guys? Because God loves us so, he gives us the ability to make choices. He doesn't just program you and hit start and let you just walk on this little path and all that. He gives you choices to say yes and to say no. He gives you free will. And so many of us will say yes to Jesus, but some of us will say no. I still prefer darkness. So he's teaching Nicodemus this message. He's saying that God so loved the world, he gave his only son to those who believe will be saved. He came in to not condemn, but to save. But yet, you have to choose to follow him. There is a choice involved. He does all the hard work. He kicks down the walls. He climbs up the mountains. He finds you and seeks you. But yet, you have to choose to follow him back. We are given free will so that we can give it back. And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we want to continue to live in the dark. Do things that the world cannot see. Do things that we want to do. And so this is the judgment in verse 19. The light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you choose to turn your life around and accept his salvation, you don't want to be in the dark anymore. You don't want to continue to be doing what you want to do. You want to do what God is calling you to do. Because you will be that testimony and that living example of his love and grace. As we were all lost, but now we are found. We can show the world that living in darkness is not what we're created to be. We are created in God's image. We are created in the image of love, and we are to love our God and love the world and to do this in the light. And so many of us have to wrestle with that. Many of us have to pray about it and seek the Lord to help us overcome whatever we're battling. But all you have to do is lay it at the feet of Jesus. Seek his forgiveness. To repent and turn towards him. And in that moment, when you do that, all that you've done in the past is forgotten. And he sees you as a child of God. We struggle with that, right? When people come to us seeking forgiveness, wanting to turn away from their wrongs, we have a hard time remembering all the bad stuff that they did. We have a hard time pushing that out of our brain. God, he doesn't see you that. He sees you as someone that was worthy of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He sees you as somebody that is worth all of the effort. You were bought with a price. You are valued in his eyes. And guess what? So is everybody else in the world. There are people out there that we don't like for whatever reasons. You know who they are. I don't care. There are people out there that you do not like. There are people out there that I struggle trying to like and to love. But Guess what?
God loves them.
Every single one. And Jesus died not just for suburban class America. He died for everybody. He died for the people that are doing horrible things. He died for people who are still living in the dark. But yet, he loves them. And he'll climb up the mountains to get to them. And he will invite them to follow him. And they'll have the choice. My buddy Nicodemus, I said earlier, I like him because of his progression. Well, in that moment, he has this scene. Jesus is like, you know, you've got to be born again. And he's like, what do you mean be born again? I can't go back in the womb and be born again. He said, no, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You got to accept God. Accept what we're doing here. And be born again. You know, John, if he never mentioned Nicodemus again, would always question, did he get it? Did this nighttime secret meeting with Jesus, did it really resonate with him? But John does share this story because I think for many of us, we can be a Nicodemus. You see, you know, there's a moment that we'll get to very soon because we're going to Easter. So we're going to hear about the passion story and the trial of Jesus in church. We're going to look at that. We do a great job here of honoring that and teaching that. And so there is a time where Jesus is going to be arrested and charged and tried and crucified. But the people that initiate Jesus' arrest and the handing over to Pilate, I shared in the Sunday school class this morning that I taught, that it all initiated the chief priests, the elders, the temple guards. They were the ones, the religious leaders of the day, the church, were the ones that came to Jesus in the garden in the dark and arrested him. But the religious leaders had to come together on a consensus to do this. They had to come together and all decide that we're going to do this. And Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, one of the religious leaders, in that moment John shares, he defended Jesus. Nicodemus stood up to his peers and defended the radical rabbi known as Jesus, the one that everybody else wanted to be killed. He defended him. And he was also one of the people, after Jesus died, to help get him fired. But Nicodemus, he did get it. He knew who Jesus really was. And I appreciate John sharing that. That there was a Pharisee in that group that stood up for him and answered Jesus' call, and he got it. And guess what? We can get it too. You know, this church, St. Matthew's, has a lot going for it right now. It really does. But we have also been through a lot in the past 4 years. 4 years ago today would have been the day that we were going to announce our capital campaign, what we raised, and what we were going to do. 4 years ago. 4 years ago. That seems like that would have been just yesterday, but also a millennium. 4 years ago, I had no clue as one of the pastors of this church what we would have to go through. But we have been through a lot. And those that are new to the church, glad you weren't there. But it does show that we are a church that still, with all that God has blessed us with, he is not through with us yet. But we also have to respond to the call and continue to live in the light. We do. It's so easy for us to sit back and complain and grumble and show our displeasure with the world and with other people. But that's not who we are. That's not who we're called to be. We are called to live in the light, to show the world what God can do amongst years of struggles and challenges. We're moving into a new space for our worship center. It is state-of-the-art. It's beautiful. And it's not done for us. No. It's to show God's goodness and glory. It is a worship space for him that we are dedicating to him and to show the world this is a safe place to come to get to know Jesus Christ. We are living in the light. We are not staying in the dark. But it's not easy. And in this season of Lent, we are called to reflect upon all that we have to struggle with. As we remember that we are mortal, that our earthly presence is limited. And that makes it so incredibly important that we choose every day to to live in the light. Every day to show the world how much God loves them. To be that representation through what we do, through what we portray here in the community, through our presence, whether it's our physical facilities or the mission work and the discipleship that we do. We are called to do this in the light. As it says here in verse 21, that those who do this, those who live in the light, do what is true, so that they may clearly see that their deeds have been done in God. Not of what we want to do, but what God wants us to do. So, St. Matthew's, we need to continue to live out our mission. That we are a family of faith, reaching out to share the life-changing love and grace of Jesus, because we are living in the light. We know that we were bought with the price, that He invites us every day to follow Him, and every day to achieve that, and we help others to do the same. May that be what we know during this season. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we do give You thanks for this new day, for just waking up, Lord. We are glad to be here in Your house, worshiping You. There are many reasons why we're all here. But while we're here, may we feel Your Spirit. May we feel Your love and grace. And may we share that to the world. Lord, help us to choose the light. Help us to be like Nicodemus and realize who You truly are. And may we show others the way. And we pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. In a moment, our ushers will be coming through, passing the offering plates. You can put your connect card in the offering plates, or if you have an offering, you can place that in there as well. If you need to come to the altar area to pray, please do so. But this is our time to praise God, to close out and worship together, and to show Him our love. So would you please stand as we close out in this time of offering.